I want to start with a very, very simple question, which is so simple that it should actually scare you that I'm asking you such a simple question. Okay? Question is, how old was Avraham when God spoke to him the first time? Or if you want to be easier, how old was Avraham when God said to him, Lech Lecha? Okay, so wasn't that easy? So now here's the way to strike fear in your hearts. So, you ready? Are you sure? Are you sure? Oh, so that's all I have to say is, are you sure? And then you're not sure.
Someone says that.
The Chumash may say it, but again, that doesn't bother me. What I want to know is, I'm going to ask again. How old? Forget it when God spoke to the first time. How old was Avraham when God says to him, Lech Lecha? Okay, prove it. Okay, then at least tell me why you think that that's the case. Yes. Okay. So does that necessarily... Good. So, but you are making an assumption, and you now realize you're making an assumption, right? What assumption are you making? Okay, good. So now we've been able to identify the problem. If we look in the beginning of Lech Lecha, those of you who have no idea already what I'm talking about, and generally this may be easier if you have Chumashim in front of you, but whatever. These are the kinds of things which are familiar enough to you. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha u'milat lecha mi'beis. What should I do? Mi'beis avicha, mi'beit avicha. What's easier for you? Beis avicha. Fine. My wife makes believe she doesn't understand me when I speak like that. I don't believe her. Now, you know that everybody has problems with this. Why does everybody have problems with this pasuk? All the mafreshim have a problem with this pasuk. What's the problem? Okay, nobody has a problem with this pasuk. What?
Where's
it
just
interjected?
You don't know who's talking.
You don't know who's talking?
You don't know who's talking.
Vayomer Hashem. Vayomer Hashem al Avram. I know who's talking. What? Yeah, because where is Avram at this point? Is he still? Again, so where is Avram at this point? So if you, excuse me. So if you're going to tell me that Avraham is in Haran at this point, and why would you say that? Because that's the last place that we've seen him, right? Just assuming that whatever happened on the last page was the thing before. So Avram, all this is easy. So Avram's in Haran, and God says to go. Now the problem is, why would he say me'artzecha, me'latatucha, if he's no longer there? Which then leads to a whole huge problem, and if you want to get into the problem, which I don't want to get into, is really in the Ramban over here, bringing up the question, where was Avram Avinu born? So where Avram was born, and you say, how do you solve that? You look at his passport, you look at his birth certificate, no, it's a big machlokas between the Ramban and everybody else. He claims that he was born in Haran, and then he went to Ur Kasdim, and then he came back, and whatever, and he goes to all the Psukim. There's a lot to talk about there, and most likely the problem is that maybe there's conflicting evidence about it. So, let me get back to our point. So far, we have a Pasuk which is difficult, but it's interesting, because all of us ignore this difficulty, or we find some kinds of reasons to explain it, but we ignore the difficulty, so far we have one difficult Pasuk. Next, continuing the speech, Kadosh Baruch Hu is still speaking and says, V'eschol ugoi gadol v'avrechecha v'agadla shemecha v'yebrucha. So I assume I don't need to translate all of that. V'avrucha v'avrechecha u'mikalalecha o'or v'nifrchu b'cho kol mishpachos adama. Okay, so here he's saying that there's going to be a disproportionate amount of Jews who are going to win Nobel Prizes, who are going to make, right? That's what the pasuk says. And they're going to make all kinds of inroads in terms of science, in terms of medicine, and save lives, and come up with all kinds of inventions. Okay? So that's invent Facebook, Google, whatever else that you want. That's what this pasuk says will be. Although some may interpret it a little differently. Continuing. Pasuk Dalet. Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem vayelech yitolot v'Avram ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shana. So Avram leaves, Lot goes with him, and Avram is 75 years old when he leaves Haran. So now again, I'm going to ask you my question, and what's my question going to be again? So how old was Avram when God spoke to him, and what's your answer going to be? Okay. So we already got you a little scared. So I'll ask again. So how old was Avram when God spoke to him? I've already knocked you down a little bit. Now you're not sure?
No.
You were sure before we started. What?
75.
He was still 75. Who could bring me evidence that maybe Avram? You say, don't tell me he didn't go right away. Right? Right away. Don't tell me to go.
I hope not.
You hope that he did. Or you hope that
no,
he didn't.
He went right away.
So bring me.
Personalities that he was.
Good. This is personality. Okay, but personality is based upon something. What's it based upon? It's based upon what? What he's done before, or what he's done before, or what he's done
after.
Okay. Good. So later on, where? So Perikov Beis, we have almost the same words, right? It also says Lech Lecha over there. Yes. It says, by the way, over here, it's a Asher Omar Elecha, that there's more information coming. And over here, back in Lech Lecha, it's Asher Areka, that I'm going to show you. So there's actually doubt, which is in both of those cases, which is also, so if similarity in the Lech Lecha, we have similarity in the doubt. One is that you're going to see, and one I'm going to show you, and one is you're going to hear. Right? What does it say here? Vayishkem Avram baboker, vayichavoshet chamarov, vayikachet shnei narov ito, vayitzchak beno, yivkat zeitzim, and so on. So, what does it say here? Vayishkem Avram baboker. He gets up right away and he goes. So now, the exact same reason that all of you were telling me that Avram went right away, I'm now going to ask you a question. What's my question going to be? I don't even have to ask it anymore now. What am I going to ask? So over here, what does it not say? It doesn't say Vayishkem Avram baboker.
He kept his whole house.
Oh, good. So now you're going to start saying, okay, but of course they're different, which I'm willing to accept completely. How are they different? One is only going to murder his kid, which is an easy thing to do. The other, you have to then deal with picking up and moving, which is not a very simple thing. You got to go sell your stuff, and maybe you got to get your lift. You got to call Nefesh for Nefesh, or whatever else the case may be. This is a little more complicated. So in this case, now, by the way, you notice how he's arguing against the way that he was arguing a minute ago? Yes? So it's not Vayishkem Avram baboker over here in our parsha.
But it's still right away.
How do you know it's right
years.
Away?
It wasn't
okay,
years.
Now, now, now,
he's now. 50 and now, now I'm 75.
Okay, so hold on a second. I'm going to come back to you. Yes.
By the case of Alka, in our heart this week, you know that Avram was that he was before.
It was what?
He was a traveler. He was traveling place to place and that. So they would get to do it in those days. And Lech Lecha, he went to Eretz-Israel, about to get shipped on. And then he settled there and he found Eretz-Israel, his actual settlement, and he moved it. And then Hashem had to tell him again. You have to move again. As in saying that before he was.
So when's the first and when's the second?
Before in Eretz Yisrael, he didn't have any food. He was wandering, he was serving for Hashem.
So when does God speak to him?
He settled in. And then that was the second time. Hashem called Lech Lecha.
So Lech Lecha is the first time or the second time?
The reason why it didn't say Vayishkem Avram baboker was because he was constantly moving.
No. He was in Haran a long time. Actually, I could tell you when he started to do things in Haran. Gemara says it. I'll come to the Gemara soon. Yeah?
Could it possibly...
Go ahead.
Could it possibly be
Don't
that?
Start that. Could it possibly... Yes, anything could possibly be.
So, the lesson is different of what Hashem tells him to go and how Hashem tells him to... Like, how he'll know where to go. And then, why does it Areka? It doesn't say necessarily, like, start walking, and I tell him to stop. And he says, like, I'll show you where to go, and when I show you, you should go. Whereas one, he's saying, just go, and I'll tell you, like, once you're going.
In both cases, he says to go. Both cases, he says Lech Lecha. The only problem is knowing when you get to the place that you need to go to. By the Lech Lecha in Vayera, by the Akedah, he gives him the general locale. What does he call it? Eretz Moriah. He gives him the general locale, but he doesn't know the specific place. So he goes around until he finds a specific place. Over here, he says to go, but he says, the place I'm going to show you. Does Avram know when he gets there that he's in the right place? So I'm just asking this question. You know, there's an important and interesting Ramban that picks on Avraham in this week's parsha. He picks on him for two things in two lines. One thing he picks on him for is the way that he treats Sarah. So he says he feels it's not right to put Sarah in this situation. You're afraid you're going to get killed, so therefore you give your wife over to the king or whatever. He just does not feel that it's right the way Avraham behaved. Although you can counter and say, okay, what else was Avraham supposed to do? What were the choices over here? So one can argue with it. But the Ramban asks the question that will make all the feminists happy. Not only asks, he says Avraham was wrong. Okay, so good. Someone has to do that.
Do you have a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with anything. I just think you can counter whether what Avram's choices were.
I don't think your personality doesn't sound like it's your opposed to...
You know my personality, okay.
Doesn't sound like your
at least let me lay on a couch before you're going to analyze me. Now, the second point that the Ramban attacks him for is he says there is a famine and he goes and he leaves the land of Israel. How can he do such a thing when God told him to go to the land of Israel? Okay. You know what one could possibly answer? God didn't tell him where to go to. God didn't say, and how did God, did he show him a map? Did he say, okay, this is the land over here, this is what you're getting, and you're in the right place? Which means, how is Avram supposed to know? Again, he's constantly traveling south. How is he supposed to know that, oh, I went too far south, now I did a terrible thing. Now, I understand where the Ramban is coming from. The Ramban, the feminist, now the Zionists. The Ramban was a big Zionist. So the Ramban, you can't confuse Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Mitzrayim. You can't confuse those unless you don't know. Which means it's very easy for us today looking backwards, even for the time of the Ramban looking backwards, and say, Avram should have known where Eretz Yisrael is, except for one problem. Yeah. How is he supposed to know at that point? And again, what I'm asking you to do is to really pay attention. When you go through the parsha this week, really pay attention to each place that Avram gets and what information he has. What does he know? And at which point he knows what he knows. But don't worry, everything's going to get worse in a second. Yeah.
It might be like you're like a little bit strong. Like you can say that Avram is already on his way to Eretz Canaan. So if Hashem comes and tells him, well, now I want you to go to, I'm telling you to go to somewhere. So obviously like, his first thought is going to be, it's definitely not because I'm already on my way to come there.
Okay. Good. Good, very good. Okay, let me ask you another question then. So far you're doing well. Based on Rashi, how old was Avraham when God spoke to him from as far as we can tell the first time? Was that too complicated of a question? Based on Rashi, how old was Avraham when God speaks to him? Yeah.
No, just in the pasuk, before you go to the tribe, Hashem says, down, this is the land I'm going to give you. So he does know that.
But which land? From where to where?
He's saying, once he's in, he gets the Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, this is what I'm giving you.
Okay. So now I'm going to ask my question again. Based on Rashi, how old was Avram when God speaks to him? 75. Good. Where did Rashi say that? I think you missed the first part of my question. Based on Rashi, should I say this part again? Based on Rashi, how old was Avram? So go ahead. What? So that's what's interesting. Rashi does say it, he implies it. The only one problem is he doesn't say it any place in Lech Lecha or Vayera or Sefer Bereishis. So by the time you get to where he says it, nobody remembers anymore anything that it says in Bereishis. So, what? So you can feel a little bit better. So let me first point out the problem and then we can understand the Rashi. In Perek Tesvav, it starts like this. Which right away is going to be difficult for anything else I'm going to say. It says, Achar Dvir Me'ele. So right away it's Achar Dvir Me'ele, so this is after things. It can't be before. Achar Dvir Me'ele, Hayod Dvar Hashem El Avram B'machaze Lemor, Al Tira Avram. So what's the context after these things? Which things? This is the war of the four kings against the five kings. Avram gets involved in local politics. The Middle East was never an easy place to live. Everybody's always fighting with one another. People can't keep track whose side they're on. So after all this, God says, don't worry. I got your back. Anochi magen lecha. Zchorcha harbe ma'od. V'yom Avram, Hashem Elokim, mati tenli, v'anochi lecha riri, v'ven meshek beiti, hu demesek Eliezer. V'yom Avram, heini lo natat hazera, v'inei ben beisi yereshos. V'nei dvar Hashem a lovely more. Lo yirushecha zeh ki im asher yitzei mimeecha hu yirushecha. Now, this portion ends in Pasuk Vav, v'amin b'Hashem v'chshver lo tzedaka. By Shishi, Pasuk Zayin, we have a conversation. My question is this the continuation of the same conversation, which is very easy to say, or is this an independent conversation? Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem Asher Hotseisicha Meur Kasdin. What does that mean? What does Meur Kasdin mean? So it's very possible those midrashim that we heard as kids that he saved them from the furnace. The word Ur Kasdim could mean the furnace in Kasdim. I'm the one who saved you from the furnace in Kasdim. Which either could be reminding him of history or could be making an introduction. Nice to meet you. I am God who took you out of Ur Kasdim. Continue, because I'm going to stay with the introduction afterwards. I'm giving you this land to inherit. So, of course, I have one question. And what's that going to be? Where is Avraham right now when this takes place? So far, what are the questions that we have on this section? Is this part of the same, of the previous conversation? New conversation. Is this something independent? What's the next question? Is this the first conversation? Next, where is he speaking? Which a number of Mefarshim see, and Gemara as well, sees as a terrible thing to ask. By the way, it's especially a terrible thing to ask after everything they've been through together. It may not be such a terrible thing to ask if this is the first conversation. I'm just pointing that out. But of course, you're going to still say to me, why am I saying this? Why? Because I have Rashi up my sleeve that you don't know yet. And then he says, God says to him, Vayomei lov, k'choli egla mishuleshes, and this is the whole part of the Brisbane Psalm. He takes them all, he cuts them, he does what he does with them. And then, Vayihi Hashemesh levov, v'tardema naflo al Avram. Avram falls into a trance. V'nei eima chashecha gedola nofelos alav. Vayomei lov rom, yodea teda, ki geria yezaracha v'eretz lov lahem, v'avadum v'inu osam arba ma'os shana. So, how long will the slavery last? 400 years. Of course, the next pasuk says immediately afterwards, V'gamas ha-goya she-yavodu don anochi. Sorry, I skipped. Aram HaShana, yeah. V'gamas ha-goya she-yavodu don anochi, v'achrechen yitzubur chlishkado, v'atatavo al-vasach v'shalom tikvar b'seva tova, v'doru v'i yashuvu heina. So we have actually, now we're ready, we have more complication, 400 years, and Doravi. We're not going to reconcile that today. Bayom hahu karas Hashem es Avram bris lemor, lezar acha nasati es ha'aretz hazos, from where to where? From where to where? Minar Mitzrayim ad Hanahar Hagadol Nahar Pras. Anybody know where Nahar Pras is? Yeah, don't say this out loud because talk about Eretz Yisrael Hashlema. So forget about Lebanon, forget about Syria. Like, we're going, like, way past there. Yeah. Well, halfway there into we'll take Iraq, we'll take all this. So now, by the way, this is very interesting. Because God is saying to him, the land that you're lying on. So, but of course, what's the problem? We don't know where he's lying. So, how many years are there going to be slave 400 years? Now, what do all of you know? How many years were they slaves? So, let's say 210. There is a cheshbon that somehow there wasn't 210. It was actually 86 years of actual slavery, but they were in Egypt for 210 years. Right, God was chishevis haketz. Ketz is 190. Took 190 out of 200, out of the 400. Left 210. So what is it? We have 400 minus 190, 200. Great, 210. Wonderful. When the Jews leave Egypt, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Mem, Mishmos. Hope it's still there. Yes. It says, Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher shvuv Mitzrayim shloshim shana v'rabar ma'os shana. How much time was it? 430 years. So, we have a problem. What's the problem? 400 years. So now, anybody who's lived in Israel for a while, so this makes sense. Hatzmada, ribit, and so on. So, you thought you owed 400, it goes up to 430, and you know what? You got off well. This is great. The only problem is that God is speaking, and it's a little disturbing. What happened? 430 years. So now, does anybody know how we count the 400 years? Because we didn't have it. It was only 210. So how do we count the 400 years? From what? From Yitzhak's birth. Why? Because it says, your descendants will be enslaved. So which point does that become a reality? At the point that he has a descendant. Before he has descendants, it's just theory. Now he has a descendant, so now it becomes a problem. Doesn't count.
Obviously.
We don't count him.
Is it 400 years of slavery? How is he a slave?
So God is allowed to count however he wants to count. That means you're not a parent yet.
No.
Parents worry about their kids. Kids don't care about their parents, but parents worry about their kids. So at which point does this become a reality for Avraham? The moment that Yitzhak is born. By the way, I want to say this. I want to say this even sharper. What year? This you all know, right? What year is Avraham Avinu born? 1948. What year is Yitzchak born? 2048. What year did the Jews get out of Egypt? 2448. So all you need to know is 1948. Good. Full stop. When does this fear begin? The day Yitzchak is born. What day is Yitzchak born? He's born in Pesach. How do you know this? Because a year before, what did the Malachim or the Anasha, what did they say? That we'll be back, next year, this time, Sarah's going to have a kid. What do they serve? They serve Ugos. So therefore, it says Ugos Matzah, so therefore they were served Matzah. Why do they serve Matzah? Because Avram keeps Pesach. Why does Avram keep Pesach? I mean, Pesach, what does it commemorate? Leaving Egypt. Avram didn't leave Egypt. What did Avram say when he was eating his matzah? But Avram does have this concern about it because he's told about it for 400 years. They're going to be slaves, and that's what the Midrash is saying. So that means that 400 years later, to the day, right to the day from Yitzhak is born, is when they leave Egypt. So over here it's ba'am. But the pasuk messed everything up. This would have been so nice had the pasuk messed everything up. Because instead of 400 years, what does it say? 430 years. So what does Rashi say? This is the Rashi that none of you remembered, but now you're going to remember it, right? Yes? Now you remember this Rashi. Rashi here says, Bein hakol, mishenolad Yitzhak adachshav, hayu arba ma'os shana. Mishahayu lo zera la'avram, niskayim kigeria zaracha. Vishloshim shana, Hayu mishenigzera gzera bein abisarim ad shenolad Yitzchak. So what does Rashi just now say? No, nobody fell off their chairs. What did Rashi just now say? That the bris bein abisarim was 30 years before Yitzchak was born. How old was Avram when Yitzchak was born? How old is Avram by the bris bein abisarim? 70 years old. Is this the Rashi that eluded everybody? Did I make this up? No cards up my sleeves, right? Rashi said this. What did Rashi say? Again, what did Rashi say? Right? Anybody want to look to it? Rashi says that Avram was 70 years old at the bris bein abisarim. How old? Remember where we started today? I asked you, how old was Avram when God speaks to him the first time? And what did you tell me? He's 75 years old? So Rashi doesn't seem to agree with you. Rashi thinks that he's 70, at least 70 years old. When he speaks to him. Now, first of all, do I have to point out to you that this is interesting? So we still have to make some sense out of all this. That's really what we need to do. Anybody have any theories? Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
And that also wasn't the first time. Because Lech Lecha happened before that, and he obviously had to go to...
How do you know Lech Lecha's before that?
He wasn't in
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just asking how you know.
He wasn't in that era before, so how could God say this is the land? It wasn't in the land before.
But it goes all the way up to Nahar Pras. He could be in Haran right now. Which means you just now made this land a lot bigger, so now you don't. Now you no longer have that much of a problem.
So when Hashem says Leperfeld, whereas if Avram's technically already in the land, he's going over and across, and once Hashem tells him, go somewhere.
So, okay, good. So I think I hope everybody now realizes what you all thought was very simple is not as simple as you thought. Yes, at least. But if Rashi didn't say it, none of you would believe anything I said. Okay, good. I understand. Yeah.
He is leaving from Haran, right? He's leaving from Haran.
I don't know.
Because if he's...
I don't know.
He's
I don't know.
From Mor Kasdim, who's on the other side of the river.
I don't know. I don't know where he's...
Mor Kasdim is on the other side of the river.
I don't know where he's leaving from. So let's lay out Avraham's life. What are the ages that we know about Avraham? There are various Midrashim and a Gemara that says that Avraham was 3 years old when he recognized there was a God, right? The Rambam says that he was 40 years old. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kechavim, who, by the way, all of you who see yourselves as rationalists, the Rambam takes all the stories about being in the furnace and all, and he writes them lahalacha. The Rambam writes all of those stories there in Hilchos Avodas Kechavim, right? So, which may be interesting that Rambam had apparently the same ganenet that we did, and he went for all this. He believed absolutely these stories. Why? So I'll say it again. The pasuk that he took you at, I took you at, me or kazdim, is written in the Chumash. So it really took him out from Or Kasdim. The Chumash says, I'm the one who saved you from the furnace. So that's not as bad as it sounds. So the Rambam says at the age of 40, Avraham already began to believe there was a God. I don't know where the Rambam got it from. I'm not saying that it's impossible to find. I just don't know off the top of my head where the Rambam got the age 40 from. I don't recall any Midrashim pointing at the age of 40. There is reason to believe that Avraham was 48 years old when he was thrown in the furnace. Anybody have any way of backing me up on that, or I have to do that myself? That he was 48 years old, but how do you know 48 years old? Where does 48 come from? Yes, there are a number of sources. Where does 48 come from? It comes from the Seder Olam. By the way, the Rashi that I quoted here comes from Rashi didn't make this up. Rashi got this from Chazal. The Seder Olam Rabba says that he was 70 years old by the Bruce Ben Absar. But it also says that Avraham was 48 years old when they built the tower. What does the tower have to do with anything? What does the tower have to do with anything? Yes. Good, but how do I know the tower is connected to this whole narrative? What's in the narrative of the tower, which is our missing piece over here? What's there? A furnace. The furnace is in the narrative. How is the furnace in the narrative? That's the only place you're going to find a furnace till now. Why? Because they were making bricks. The furnace is there in the narrative. So therefore, this whole story of Avram being thrown, who's the one, according to the Medrash, that throws him in? It's Nimrod. Nimrod is the one who's building the tower. Why is his name Nimrod? What does Nimrod mean? Right? The one who makes the rebellion. So Nimrod is the one who's rebelling against God. Avram, right? You all know the Midrashim. I don't have to tell you these Midrashim, right? Yes, no?
Maybe.
Okay. The Medrash says that Avram's father was an idolater. By the way, it's not just the Medrash. It's a pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua. The Rambam understands from that pasuk, if I'm not mistaken, that Avram was also an idolater. There's two ways of understanding the pasuk. That Avram is an idolater, his father's an idolater, but at some point, Avram understands. Zelozet. His father leaves him in charge of the store. His father goes. So the Medrash says as follows. A man comes to the store and Avram says, how old are you? Right, I'd like to buy an idol, a nice idol, a good bird. He goes, how old are you? So what does Avram say? Sorry, what does the man say? I'm 50, 60 years, whatever it is. Avram says to him, are you not embarrassed? My father made this idol yesterday. And the guy left, he was very embarrassed, humiliated. What was Avram's argument with him? I mean, what was he saying? What was the point of what he's saying over here? Look, why did this guy come to the store in the first place? Why? Why is he coming? Because he's a loser. His life was a mess. Who goes looking for religion? People are miserable. So he's looking for religion. Why? What's so funny? I'm being absolutely serious.
Cultural.
Yeah, it's cultural. The guy, why does the guy today want to buy the idol? Why? because this girl won't love with him, his business is failing, so he thinks that this idol is going to suffer, so he wants to buy an idol, now his life is going to work out. So what does Avram say? This idol can't be the thing responsible for all the terrible things in your life till now. My father just made it yesterday. And he goes, think, what are you talking about? So the guy's embarrassed and he walks away. It says then a woman comes. The woman is carrying a whole plate of flour and she wants to serve. Now I've seen those who have claimed that there may be a very interesting difference between a male orientation to religion and a female orientation to religion, to Judaism, where the man wants to buy an idol, he wants to own an idol, while the woman wants to serve the idol. You can work this out, and if you think there's a distinction. By the way, the man he asks how old you are, the woman he doesn't ask. Okay, that I think we all understand. Okay, so Avram Avinu had, we see, a good meal. He won't ask the woman how old he is. He takes it from her, doesn't say anything, doesn't engage her in conversation. Okay, Al Tarbu Sicha Ma'isha, he doesn't talk to her at all. So Avram Avinu is a tzaddik. Said, good. So he takes it, and then he puts it in front of the biggest idol, and then he takes a hammer and he breaks all the other idols. His father comes back, and what does his father say? He says, oh my gods, right? Okay, so I'm just kidding. His father comes back, and he... And that's as funny as it's going to get, okay? He comes back, and what happened? So Avram then says to his father, it was unbelievable. This was the craziest thing ever. He said, the woman comes in, they brought the thing, put it in front of the big idol. The little idol goes running around the room, grabs it from the big idol. The big idol chases him down. He kicks him, he hits him back, he smacks him upside the head, he gives him a headbutt. The big guy takes a hammer, he starts breaking all the other ones. And Avram's father looks at him and says, what are you talking about? They're inanimate objects. So Avram then says, do your ears hear what your mouth is saying? Right? That's the muster that he gives his father. Do your ears hear what your mouth is saying? He goes, again, what he's really saying. I tend to agree with you, but do your ears hear what your mouth is saying? By the way, I think that line is very, very deep. And I think it's based upon something in the Chumash. And if you're nice and behave, I'll show you in the Chumash what that may be based on. So, afterwards it says that his father takes him, brings him to Nimrod. And Nimrod says to him, let's worship fire. And he goes, what are you talking about? Worship fire? Fire could be extinguished by water. By the way, this is literally Chad Gadya now. This is where Chad Gadya comes from. He goes, why worship fire? We can worship water. So he goes, let's worship water. He goes, no, water comes from clouds. Let's worship clouds. He goes, no, but clouds are moved by the wind. Let's worship the wind. He goes, but wind can't move a person. He goes, so if he goes, you know, let's go back to the fire. And then Nimrod takes him, throws him in the fire, and as I said, then he gets saved from the fire. These are the Midrashim. This is what the Midrashim. But you see within the Midrashim some very interesting philosophical arguments that's taking place. You have like a first cause argument. You have an argument in terms of this logical argument that it can't possibly be. By the way, there's one other Midrash that says that Avram sees a house on fire. And he starts looking, he goes, what made the house on fire? What made the fire? What made the house? Who built that? He goes, it can't be that a house just came by itself. And so, which then leads him back and says, well, just the same thing with the world. The world just came by itself. It must be something that built it. But by the way, do you find it interesting that scientists, the ones who say, let's say the ones who, let's say, reject Christianity, right? The scientists reject Christianity. Why? Because how can you possibly believe in an immaculate conception, right? How can you believe in immaculate conception? All rules of physics are based that you cannot have a result without a cause, which means they're not willing to accept immaculate conception, but they believe the whole universe just came by itself, which is the whole universe is immaculate conception, according to them. So again, I'd love to know who knocked up the universe. Like, what in the world are you people talking about? How can you say such a thing? But again, just think about... I get it. Is that like a little much? I should... Think a second. Think a second. Because, and the way, that's Avram Avinu, according to the Medrash. That's what Avram's saying to them. What in the world are you people talking about? Okay, how old is Avram at that point? 48 years old, because that's when the tower. By the way, according to the Medrash, Noach was there as well, Avram was there as well, at the tower. According to Sedra Olam Rabba, Noach dies, you'll remember this now, Noach dies 10 years later. How old is Avram when Noach dies? 58. What's 58? Noach. Nunchetz. 58 is Noach. Which means that Avram becomes Noach when Noach is dead. Okay? So all that is based upon... You can remember some of this, right?
Where did
the Ram get 40? I don't know.
No. Where did the Rosh get 48?
48, the set, because according to Seder Olam, it does all the math, so it has the tower at the when Avram is 48 years old.
Yeah.
You don't understand the Rashi. You're right, but that's not what Rashi says. What does Rashi say? Shall I read it? Rashi there says. Rashi there says. How do you decide which is a famous Rashi? I'd say anyone that I know is famous, but how do you decide which one's famous? I guess anything like right in the beginning of the Parsha is famous. Yeah, actually, Rashi is a little difficult, even in terms of the Divrei Maaseh. Eila told us Noach ish tzaddik, tamim haya b'dorosav. So was Noach tzaddik? Was Noach tzaddik? No, it's not what the Chumash says. It's not what the Chumash says. Eila told us Noach ish tzaddik, tamim haya b'dorosav. He was a tzaddik, but he was tamim b'dorosav. Rashi makes believe as if it says tzaddik b'dorosav. Rashi says, "B'dorosav yesh marasen b'dorosh masal d'shavach kol shken sheilu haya b'dor tzadikim haya tzadik tzadik yoser v'yesh dorshin also l'gnai l'fi dor haya tzadik v'ilu haya b'dorosh al avram lo yanechshav l'klum." So now, why is this Rashi strange? If you notice it, the Rashi lacks symmetry. It should have said both sides in the exact same way. It should have said, had Noah lived in the generation of Avram, he would have been greater, or Noah lived in the generation of Avram, he would have been worse. There's actually two different sources for this Rashi. One source is the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Ches. There, both sides, which are Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, which I think is very important, Rav Yochanan always being the Talmud Chacham, Reish Lakish being the Baal Tshuva, Reish Lakish is the one who says, oh, had he been in a greater generation, he would have been great, which means have much more respect for Noach, because you don't know what it's like, Rabbi Yochanan, sometimes, to be able to withstand peer pressure. So the way that it comes out, according to that Gemara, both sides, Reish Lakish and Yochanan, don't mention any people. Had he been a better generation, would have been better. He says, no, he wouldn't have been better. Machlokas straight up. In Medrash Rabbah, Gracious Rabbah, it has the Machlokas, doesn't have Avraham, it has Moshe and Shmuel. Moshe and Shmuel on both sides. So there are two rabbinic sources that I can find. One is symmetrical, no names. The other is symmetrical, two names. Rashi makes it asymmetrical, and he sticks a name. It wasn't English, it was Hebrew, right? It's asymmetrical. In Hebrew, it's asymmetrical, right? He makes it asymmetrical, and he puts Avraham instead of... It's all really quite strange what Rashi is trying to do. If I'm not mistaken, real quick. The Gemara we understand, no names. The Medrash, why Moshe? Because Moshe and Noach should be prepared. I mean, especially if you go into the Kabbalistic sources, but even you read the text of the Chumash, the only two people who have a Teva, you have a Teva by Moshe and you have a Teva by Noach. You have 120 years for Noach to be trying to do something, Moshe lives for 120 years. On top of that, the Arizal points out that when Moshe Rabbeinu, when God says, okay, I'm going to wipe out the people, I'll make you into a nation, what does he say? Micheni no misifrucha. So in the Haftorah that we normally read, we didn't read it this week, the Haftorah from Yeshayahu on Noach, there it calls the flood Mei Noach. Ki Mei Noach Zos. It's Mei Noach. Why Mei Noach? What did Noach do? He's the only guy who didn't do anything. Why call it the waters of Noach? What did Noach do? So the Arizal says, no, Mei Noach, it's because Noach didn't fight with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Moshe fought. What word is it? Mecheni. Mecheni is the same letters as Mei Noach. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he does the tikkun for what Noach should have done. So all that in turn understands Moshe Rabbeinu. Why Shmuel? Shmuel may take us back to Avram Avinu. Because Shmuel, what was his great task? He's the one who anoints David HaMelech. If Avram Avinu already recognized God at the tower, Noach could have, again, he didn't fight for his generation, but he should have stood behind Avraham. He should have had his back. But that's really the power of Noach. We never hear him speaking. We don't hear him speaking to his generation. We don't see any dialogue with him and his children. He curses them, he blesses them. No dialogue. There's no dialogue which takes place. So over here, he should have been the one to anoint Avram Avinu. So that's why Shmuel makes sense. That's why Moshe makes sense and Shmuel makes sense. On the other hand, Now we know from the Sefer Olam Rabba that Noach was in the generation. So what is Rashi doing? He's saying that both sides of the argument are true. Had Noach been in another generation, he would have been greater. It's true. And had he been in the generation of Avram, he would have been worthless. Why? Because he was in the generation of Avram, and he was worthless. Right? So that I think is pshat on what Rashi's saying. He didn't do anything for Avram. He didn't back him up. He stands there on the side when Avram gets thrown into a furnace. So going back again, Avram is 48 years old. He's thrown into the furnace. He's saved from the furnace. He's taken out me or kazdim. Again, you understand why he was medayek that? Because of the lack of symmetry. If there was symmetry, like in the original sources, then you couldn't say that. Rashi seems to try to be telling us, I think that's what Rashi's trying to say. He's covering it up a little bit. It's not nice to say Noach was a loser. He's a tzaddik. Ten generations. But again, you do the math how long Noach lives. As I said, that's what the Sefer Olam does. Okay, let's get to the next point.
Ten generations. That same people who really, ten generations contract isn't that long.
No. Why are you saying they forgot? Why didn't they build the tower? God's going to send another flood. They're going to be real high up. Can't get us now.
They're rebelling with the God they know exists.
They don't like God. They're very upset with God. Not for now, but they're very upset with God. The strange thing about the tower is they build it in a valley. They don't build it on top of a mountain. Well, that's very strange. You want to build a tower, start it. There's a lot more to talk about. It says they used all. So what do you use when they made those bricks? What do they use it from? They use it. It says from the. They use it from the stuff they found by the valley. What would be by the valley? This is so bad. I'm not allowed to say it. There's a medrash that says it's something so bad you're not allowed to even say it. But I figured out what it was. They used the debris at the bottom. What debris was there? It was all the dead bodies. They made the bricks out of all the dead bodies. Which means that it's not that they were angry at God, for a God that could do such a terrible Holocaust. They were mad at God. They built a tower. They're going to go to war against God. Is it primitive? I can't tell you. Can we pick up Avram? Why do you want to talk about Noah? Let's get back to Avram. So, Avram is 48 years old. When? At the tower. When's the next time the Gemara notes how old he was? So, Gemara in Avodah Zarah, on Daf Tes. Famous Gemara, right? I can say that, famous Gemara. So, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that there were 2,000 years of Tohu. When did the 2,000 years of Tohu come to an end? At the year 2000. So again, what year was Avram Avinu born? 1948. How old was Avraham in the year 2000? 52. The Gemara says Tohu was... Tohu was for 2,000 years. Trey Alfe, right? Right, Trey Alfe. Miva Hanefesh Hashab B'choran. Vikmire, we have a tradition. The Avram, but he shata Avram. At that moment, Bar Chamishin B'tarte Hava, that Avram was 52 years old by Hanefesh Hashab B'choran. So now we have another age for Avram. What does Avram start doing at 52? He goes into Chinuch. Right? It wasn't working out in the idol store. So he goes into chinuch. He asks, who would go into chinuch? Somebody who couldn't make it in an idol store. So this makes explain a lot. So, according to the Gemara then, how old is Avram when he starts inspiring people, when he starts teaching people? Avram Avinu is 52 years old. At that point. So, okay, I've given you so much information now. Can you make sense out of any of this yet, or you still need me? Yeah.
Does it have to be exactly 2,000 years? Do we carry that throughout the Seder? Is it like, other 2,000 years? Exactly 2,000 years,
and the Cheshbon then is Torah for 2,000 years, and basically that we have Nevuah for the next 2,000 years. From Benefesh Yisrael B'choron. That's more or less what the Gemara is telling us. Yeah.
Side point, back a
more side points. This whole thing has been a side point.
And yeah, why?
You know, it could be your side point is going to take us back. Okay.
It's an idea of like how we know that Aaron wasn't in Canaan when it's Lachva, but it says that he went to Lachva in the Pasuk. So like obviously he wasn't in Canaan, because he went to Canaan. So he wasn't really wasn't in the Quran.
Okay. Why Haran? Maybe God said to him Lech Lecha, and he was still in Ur Kasdim. One second. Do you like that or no?
It's the word thing.
Right. What's our whole problem? We don't know when he said Lech Lecha. We don't know how much time took place.
Long journey.
Look. Can I tell you what's bothering you? Why none of you wanted it right away when you said it? You were right. Right away, you didn't want to say, you didn't like where I was leading you. You said, no, this couldn't be. Why? First of all, the problem is you read too many art squirrel biographies. That every single tzaddik was always a tzaddik. Everybody, every Talmud Chacham, his mother was a tzaddik, his father was a Rosh Hashiva. He, right? I want to write one of these. You just get, it's like they have a form, just like fill in the blanks over there. It's. I don't know why I waste so much time actually, you know, learning before I write books. This is like a great, great career. And by the way, I'm very friendly with the people that run Arts Girl. When the first Arts Girl book came out, a kid from my high school class, he comes in, he tries to sell us the Arts Girl on Megillas Esther. His mother typed it. His uncle wrote it. He goes, come. So we all bought it to make it. Who knows? I should have kept it. Could have sold it on eBay today. Anyway. I don't remember. Maybe my parents still have it. Maybe it's in their house. So, no, the problem is that we like to imagine that every great person was always a great person. What I'm saying right now is very, very significant. Was there any stage of development within Avraham Avinu's life? I mean, you guys were fascinating before. When I said to you, how do you know that Avraham went right away when he said, Lech Lecha? So what did you say? Because he does it by the Akedah. Okay, how old was he by the Akedah? I don't know either. But assuming that if you want to take the tradition, what? If you want to follow that tradition, that it was the same time that Sarah died, the Rishon argue about that. If you want to say it's the same time, good, he's 137. So I'm asking you, was 137-year-old Avraham exactly the same way as he was when he was, let's say for argument's sake, when he was 75? Was Avraham exactly the same? Or does Avraham over time develop more? One second, is it a terrible thing to say that Avram can grow from place to place? Again, this is the same Avram that the Rambam told us was an Oved Avodah Zarah at some point. You all know that he grew along the way. So you're going to say, no, he was an Oved Avodah Zarah one day, and the next day he became Avram Avinu. By the way, that's not true. How do you know that? When did he become Avram Avinu? How old was he when he became Avram Avinu? How old was he when he became Avram Avinu? How old was he when he became Avram Avinu? 99, that's when God changed his name. And he says, okay, you're Avram Avinu now. Which means before he was Avram. What does a change in name mean? Well, Jenny means he went bankrupt and you're trying to open different accounts. But what does it mean that he changes his name? It means that he has now become something else. So I'm just saying, okay, maybe Avram develops over time. Maybe Avram gets to different points, at different, you know, he grows. Is that a terrible thing to say? I want to now just take all the pieces that we know and maybe Try to make sense of it. 3 years old, Avram realizes idolatry is absurd. But he's a 3 year old. The Rambam tells us that by the age of 40, he really understands it. By the age of 48, he fights with people. By the age of 48, he tells this guy, my father made this thing yesterday. He tells this woman, well, he doesn't say anything to the woman, but he takes him and tells his father they beat themselves up. Okay, as I said, Avram is moving along. He gets thrown into the furnace. He then ends up in Haran. Now, the problem is, why is he in Haran? This is a problem. Why is he in Haran? Why is he in Haran? Say it clearly. Because his father took him there. Right, that's how last week's parsha ended. It said, V'yikach terech es Avram b'no, v'zlot ben Haran, ben b'no, v'sarai kaloso, esh es Avram b'no, v'yitzu itami ura kazdim. So where did they go from? From Ur Kasdim. That's the lead. Hold it. Who took him out of Ur Kasdim? Didn't God say, I took you out of Ur Kasdim? Hold it. Who took him out of Ur Kasdim? Did God take him? So now you even see more so why maybe that other meant the furnace. Or maybe God subcontracts. Who gave him this? By the way, realize something. A minute ago, Terach is giving him over to Nimrod. And now Terach says, you know what? Maybe we should leave this place. And he goes someplace else. But who's the one who takes him out? So it says that Terach takes him out. But God said, I'm the one who took you out. So I'm just saying that itself now became a little more interesting. But that's more interesting is where is he taken to? Me'orkas dim lo leches artsa Canaan. Where does Terach, our old idolater forefather, want to take Avraham Avinu to Eretz Canaan? Does he know that Eretz Canaan, again, big argument, does he know that Eretz Canaan is Eretz Israel? Does he know that this is the place? Why does he want to go there of all places? And now, on top of all that, v'yavo ad Charan v'yishrul sham, he only makes it as far as there. Now, again, is God subtracting through Terach, and Terach is the one who's taking him there? There's a very interesting nitziv about this. I wrote about it someplace. Somebody attacked me in a book review. He hated what I wrote about the Nitziv, but what I said was good anyway. But don't worry about it. He says that basically that Avram was a man with his head in the clouds, so he needed someone. He needed a driver. Well, it's not a terrible thing to have a driver, right? Would any of you like to have a driver? It's a great thing to have. So, but now there's one other thing about Terach which is interesting. I told you I would try to get. If you're nice, I'll try to get back to this. It says. What was the name of Terach's father? Nachor. V'chi Nachor teisha v'esrim shana v'yelidus Terach. V'chi Nachor achar yelidus Terach. V'chi Terach shivim shana v'yelidus Avram es Nachor v'es Haran. What's interesting about Terach? He is the first person in Tanakh. You know all the boring parts of Bereishis and he begat he and he begat he and he begat he and so on and so forth? Terrible. I looked through all of them and nobody named their son after their father, other than Terach. Terach is the first one to do this. Now, this, what does it show you? It shows you that Terach has an appreciation of where he came from. He has an appreciation for the past. Isn't it interesting that we see philosophically within Avraham's arguments this concern about, what are you talking about? The water, what are the fire, what about the water, what are the water, what about the clouds, what about the clouds, what are the wind? You see this appreciation. See, my point is, even the greatest geniuses don't come from a vacuum. Something influences them. It could be that they go far further than the thing which gave them the idea, but intellectually, you can trace ideas back where they came from. You can trace Reb Chaim back to the Beis HaLevi. Right? Beis HaLevi is not Brisker Torah, but you can find Brisker Torah. You can find where Reb Chaim came from if you look at the Beis HaLevi. It's there. My point then is, that where does Avraham Avinu come from? He comes from Terach. Okay, that sounds like the most basic sentence you ever heard in your lives. Where does Avraham come? He comes from Terach, but not just biologically, intellectually. Terach's problem, though, is he can't complete the journey. Terach can't go all the way. Terach can't make it to Canaan. He has this thought, where things come from, whatever, so for him it's not really well developed. He's still this idolater. Avraham is the one who goes further. But where does Avraham come from? He comes from Terach. So remember, what was the line I told you was important? Avram says to him, do your ears hear what your mouth is saying? And I would even say every time he calls his son. Don't you think it through? I mean, Avram is the genius who's able not to think this all the way through. Hold it. If he's naming his son after his father, where do people come? Where does this come? Where does the whole world come? Who created all this? There must be a beginning to this. Avram that turns to his father, do your ears hear what your mouth is saying? And as I said, it could be where the Midrash is getting it from is why these, again, really slight hints within the text itself. We now put this all together. So what do we have? We have Avram. I'm going to ask you again. So how old was Avram when God spoke to him the first time? What's my answer? I don't know. Could it be that he was 75 when he said Lech Lecha? Could be. But what do we have? At least according to Rashi, we have a problem. Of course, according to Rashi, he already spoke to him when he was 70. I'm willing to entertain the possibility that God already said to him Lech Lecha from where? From your birthplace, from everything, when? He said it to him when he was 48 years old, when he takes him out of the furnace, he already says to him. So he starts to go. He starts to go with his father and so on. But that's not enough, which means at some point he comes to this, I mean, he thinks his father's with him, but that's not what God said. But look how convenient it is. He's leaving his birthplace. But wouldn't he love to believe that his father could be with him? By the way, when does he finally separate from his father's house? I'm willing to say, he finally separates from his father's house when him and Lot part ways. That's the final separation between him and his father's house. Why was Lot there? Because Lot is family, but Lot is not part of Beis Avraham. Which, okay, I'm I had that thought. Can I tell you, I'm 100% convinced of it? I'm not 100% convinced. But I had that thought, that this whole process of moving and separating is a process that we see moving on. The terrible price that we have to pay for this, for what I've said today, is then the appreciation that Avram Avinu isn't born in a second. Avram Avinu develops over time, and the greatness of Avram increases over time. And God willing, your greatness will increase over time as well. And just because that you don't fit right now into the classic art score biography, it doesn't mean that you're not going to end up being incredibly great. Okay.